Invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Jude, the book of Jude, next to the last book in the Bible, next to the last book in the New Testament. Jude, we believe to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're here at verse number 4 for our consideration of this book. The book reads in verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And there's that peace that the brother desires to be multiplied to those, to us, to whom he is writing. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse number 4, this is where we are this afternoon. There's a turning, a change here. He's speaking to them. Of course, he's speaking to us, but there is a change in tone about what he's speaking about. Okay, he's spoken to the Lord's people. He's admonished them, encouraged them in these things, and then now he's going to remind them about unbelievers. He's going to remind about how the Lord deals with unbelievers. He's going to remind them about and warn us about these things, okay, these things that are at hand. It's a thing that's always been at hand. Even there in the first church, Judas was at hand, all right? And, of course, Jude would know about Judas being an apostle. If, in fact, he is an apostle, and we believe him to be, he would know firsthand about what Judas did and his betrayal of the Lord and his lack of faith. Even though he was an apostle, even though he was an apostle, and there in the church, and even being the treasurer of the church. Okay, and so verse number 4: earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace or the favor of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there's a lot. This book is this way. It's just chock full of issues and points and thoughts for consideration. As we look at this fourth verse this afternoon, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Where have they crept in? Well, it's not a thing of them creeping into the world, is it? No, it's not. It's not because they're there in the world. That's already at hand. The sin of man, the depravity of man at work in the world is just known. But they have crept in where? Crept in amongst the Lord's people. And he's going to speak about this at different planes, different references that he makes, this being the case. The Lord Jesus said, I send you out as sheep amongst wolves. It's the way that it is. It's going to be. They're going to be around. And he said there are certain men crept in. And what's it say? Unawares. They've come in. They've come in amongst the Lord's people. They've come in to the Lord's churches. We need to beware. Earnestly contend for the faith. We've got a world of churches today that claim to be this or claim to be that, claim to be a Baptist church and don't hold any Baptist doctrine at all. They hold Catholic doctrine or universal doctrine. They hold the Protestant doctrine, if you will. And they don't even know what it means to be a Baptist. And it's saved by the blessing of the Lord that we know. But he has done this for us. He showed us this. Certain men crept in unawares. They can creep in. And if the shepherds, if the pastors, and if the brethren, if the people of God are not looking out for what? Well, he's going to tell us. We're going to see and know about what to look for. But if there's not an understanding about being fruit inspectors, we're not a judge of anybody. We don't, as a church, mete out any condemnation because of error or of sin. We don't ultimately judge sin, but as a church, we do make judgments according to the Word of God to whether a brother or sister will be allowed to be with us or to be separated from us. Okay? And so when they would begin, any of us would begin to behave unsaved, as is spelled out by the Scripture, then there would be a necessity then to remove that one. Okay, and we talked about that even last Sunday regarding the Lord's Suppers. There's supposed to be individual introspection. There's supposed to be introspection from the standpoint of the church. Certain men crept in, not walking in boldly, proudly, and loudly, but creeping in. Slow. Tell you what, my pastor used to say it, and it is so. The world creeps in on us, and we don't even know it. I mean, I'll tell you, we don't even know it. You can test this if you want to. You turn off public programming for a week. Turn off public programming for a week. And I'm talking about the radio, I'm talking about television, I'm talking about any kind of media. You turn off public programming for a week or maybe even a month, and then go back and take a look and see how you will become more sensitive to the things that are said, to the innuendo that's there, to the language that is there, because it just assaults us. It does. And if we flirt with the thinking and the way of the world, it can do nothing but hurt us. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It just happens. It just happens. And so these are described here as creeping in. May we beware of the creep, okay? Now not a singular creep, but the creeping in of things, okay? Crept in unawares, don't know that what's going on. Well, listen to what it says here. I find this interesting. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. When we talk about ordained, this word ordained is to announce, to figuratively announce or prescribe, set forth as a synonym, evidently set forth as a way that it's used in the Scripture, or to write. They were ordained. And in this word condemnation, you've heard me define it as coming damnation. The person that it was without repentance and without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior has the condemnation of their sin resting on them now. They are condemned. You don't have to wait. And what is it about condemnation? If one is known to be guilty, the cloud of that coming judgment hangs over their head. Because see, it's known they're guilty. As sinners, we're guilty. As a sinner, you're guilty. And that condemnation hangs over your head because when you get down here to the judgment, the sentence is yours. The sentence is sure. The punishment for this transgression is then yours. Coming damnation, condemnation. It says here that these that crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Let's take a look at verse number 19. And let's see what it says more about these, okay? He's making a contrast between believers and unbelieving, okay? That's what our brother is doing here. Verse number 19, these be they, verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, okay? This is the word spoken of the apostles. Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They walk, these that have crept in, walk after their own desire, the desire of the body, the desire of the fleshly mind, okay? These be they who separate themselves. They are sensual, having not the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God within them. And the way that I reckon this, we say, well, you know, we believe and it's taught and we've talked about it amongst ourselves and I've taught it and preached it and other brethren, I believe, have done the same here, is that the electing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him choosing a people into salvation before the world began is just that. All men were condemned, and all men were sinners, and all men were guilty before God. That's just the way that it is. We were all condemned. And from that, the Lord chose a people unto Himself that He would bring to salvation and ultimately bring to Himself in glory. Okay, I mean, that's it. In time, He sent His Son, and in time, each one of us that have been saved and each one that will be saved will be visited by the Lord, visited by the gospel, visited by the Spirit, and the Lord will save them. That's the way the Lord works. So we believe that, and I think if we did a study about predestination, the doctrine of predestination, that's exactly what we'll find. Is that all men were condemned and guilty before God, and from them the Lord chose. Now, did the Lord choose men unto condemnation, unto damnation? Well, the way I see it and the way I reckon the scriptures, no. We were already in that state. Okay? The Lord didn't have to do anything to us. We were already on that road, if you will, in the way that we can think about eternal things. And so when we come to a passage like this, how do we reconcile this? Certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Listen, if the Lord has not ordained for the Spirit to become involved in an individual's heart, life, soul, and salvation, then they are indeed left to what they already have, their own depravity and wickedness and sin. And I guess in a sense it could be said, it is said that way. If the Spirit doesn't intervene, what we have is a child of the devil. That's it. That's it. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that before the Lord saved us, we all behaved as children of the devil. But the Lord, because of His electing grace and what He has done in His predestination, His predetermining and His election and forecounsel, knowledge of God, those things, He determined to save a people. But if He hasn't determined for someone to be a sheep, they are a goat. And by virtue of that, there's nothing but sin and wickedness. There's no hope indeed. Okay, well, one would say the natural man. I remember how it was before I was saved. The natural man says, well, what if I'm ordained to this condemnation? Well, as it was said that other night, I believe, I think it was Brother Guiley, one of the brethren there, maybe Brother Barry, said it. Quoted Spurgeon, said, well, what if you're not? See, it's none of your business about what you're ordained into. The business at hand for the sinner is repent and believe the gospel. That's the message from God to you. These things are given to us who are saved and in the Lord's church that we just might understand the great working and operation of God. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that Jesus came to call sinners, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And sinners need to repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. You repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to say truly repent and truly believe. You repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what the scripture says. That's what the Lord says. So, don't go meddling in a thing that's not your own. Listen to Luke chapter 11, verse number 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, okay, the Lord speaking to the multitude at hand and His disciples, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, as the children of God, we need to avail ourselves more to the Spirit of the Lord. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And not with self and the way of the world and that world creeping in. The sinner without Christ, do you want to be saved? Well, if you don't care for your own soul, then if you will, why would the Lord? But if you see you're a sinner, condemned before God and on your way to hell, it's the Lord that shows that, then repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message at hand. So don't get things mixed up or carts before horses and such as that, because there's just things, these things are not the business of those that are without Christ. The Word of God is true and they're there, but that's not the message of the Word of God to you. It's like I said earlier, and I've heard it said, it's kind of like someone that's not saved looking into the things and the doctrine of the Lord to the churches and such as that, and what the Lord tells us about what he's done is like somebody reading somebody else's mail. Okay? The Gospels are namely the directive toward you indeed. And so these are sensual. They think about what the flesh thinks. They do and pursue what the flesh, what the body wants, what'll satisfy, what smells good, looks good, tastes good, what is appealing, what's exciting to the flesh. That's the way that they are, and they creep in. They're before ordained to this condemnation. Why? Because there's a lack of the working of the Spirit, at least at this time in their life. Couldn't we say that the Apostle Paul fell into this category before the Lord saved him? Now, granted, he didn't creep in, but he made havoc of the church and wasted it, didn't he? These do the same thing. And so, is it so that someone couldn't be saved out of this? No, the Lord, with God, all things are possible. But here it is. This is what's being told and what the brother is warning us about. There are certain men crept in unawares, crept in amongst the Lord's people, crept in even amongst the Lord's churches, who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation. Ungodly men is what it says. And I invite you to turn over your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's see what Brother Paul writes to Brother Timothy and to us about these ungodly men. Ungodly men. We saw a little bit of that there in verses 17, 18, and 19 in Jude. And we want to take a look at just this chapter about this. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. An error by my secretary or my computer one. I'll have to talk to them about that. This know, verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, also, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And know that. We can read that verse and just brush over it and say, well, it won't happen to us. I'll tell you what, we've seen some perilous things in the last couple weeks, hadn't we? Isn't that something how this stuff comes right after we've had a great time in revival services? It's so. May we learn. May I learn. May we be reminded. May the Lord strengthen us and help us that we stand. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Sensual. What the flesh wants. What the body wants. Covetous. Wanting what others have. Boasters. Bragging about what they can do. Proud. Having a respecter of persons and that they are greater and better than others. They stand above the rest. Blasphemers against God. Disobedient to parents. Mothers and fathers. Fathers and mothers. Correct your children while they're little. Because when they get older, they become uncorrectable. And may God help us in that. May the Lord help us to see that. May the Lord help us and bless us as we do by what the Lord gives us in His Word. Disobedient to parents. We've got a world of that today. And young people just wandering and adrift in this world. There's a spirit. There's spirits at hand. And Scripture tells us that we're to try the spirits to see if they be of God. There's spirits at hand of just all kinds of laziness and the world owes you something, and that a child is to have what their folks have without putting in the decades to be able to earn it and to have it. And just all kinds of just terrible things that are at hand. This thing of abortion and abuse of children and the gender mess up that we have and the redefining of marriage and all that. It's just a mess. It's a mess. Why? We've gone away. Society and our nation is going away from the way that God has established. And may you and I understand, may each one of us understand, if we go away from the design and pursuit of the design of God, if we go away from that, it's going to cost. It's going to cost. Disobedient to parents. Young people, listen to me. Young people, obey your parents. It's right in the Lord for you to obey your parents. Your parents tell you something that's right, you obey them. Don't blow them off, don't blow me off, and don't blow off the Word of God. Because the Lord, as He looks on at that, He is displeased with the disobedience to parents, especially when you've got good parents that tell you a good and show you a good godly way. Because here's the thing, young people, are you listening? The time that you have with your parents is a time that is supposed to be preparing you for when you get out there beyond your parents, by yourself, coming of age. It's a time for preparation when it's going to be you and the Lord. And you need to be ready for that. And you need to take advantage of the blessing the Lord given you with parents that tell you something right. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. There's much we who are saved, we are to be a thankful people. Unholy. Sinning against the Lord in every way. Without natural affection. Not even, and I understand what I'm saying, not even care for yourself enough to take care of yourself. That's unnatural. It's unnatural for somebody to not want to take care of themselves. Amen? And we live in a day that people just want to be a slug or just a lump of life. And not do anything. And of course, it certainly can be applied to the mess in marriage that's pursued by the world today, and can also and all the wickedness of sodomy and lesbianism and abuse of children and all those things. Truce breakers. Got a fleet of lawyers to make an agreement. So you can get in a fleet of lawyers to go ahead and break the agreement. It's just a way. It's a way that it works. False accusers, lying, and we had a mention of it here not too long ago. You know, we as the Lord's people here, if we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, the world around us is not going to be happy with it, and we're going to be falsely accused of things that can happen. I don't want it to happen, but that can happen. And may the Lord help us and bless us that none of it be true. What we're accused of, that would be we're accused of doing wrong. And may we not do anything wicked and sinful before the Lord. And it be true what our accusers accuse us of, if you understand what I'm saying. Incontinent. Fierce. No patience. Do you find yourself without patience? We need to have patience. And we may have things come on us that are going to give us more patience. And we need to not brag about not having patience. We need to look to the Lord, ask the Lord for help and strength. And I understand what it is to get loaded up and feel burdened down and squeezed and all that. But may we look to the Lord. And I tell you what, I'm preaching to me as much as I am you. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. There's a fierceness in the land. Young people seem to be, there's just a growing fierceness at hand. Many that are just looking for a fight, a reason to fight, and despisers of those that are good. Folks can't be allowed to run their business the way they want to run them. With a sense of morality, the level of morality or sense of morality that they have, that they want to operate by. But we live in a day now, they're going to be leveraged into doing what society wants done. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, we've got a church house, I think last I counted a seat about 150, pretty comfortably. How many people you think was maybe at the nearest, I don't know where the nearest casino boat is. I hope you don't either, but how many people you think were there today? I used to work with a bunch of folks that would go there in St. Louis. They talk about the payday happened. They talk about going to the boat. Here we see bingo. Bingo. I wonder how many folks are lined up over at Guthrie right now at the bingo parlors. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Pull up there at the bingo parlor with so-and-so Missionary Baptist Church on the side of the van. Denying God Almighty. Going and taking their church van, probably with a load of senior members that ought to know better, and they're at the bingo parlor. Having a form of godliness. Oh, it says they're members of a church, but they're gambling, thinking that they're representing the Lord in a good way. Maybe not even thinking it. From such turn away. Turn away from them. Turn away from this way. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. There's that same kind of word, crept, that we saw in verse number 4 of Jude. Leading captive silly women laden with sins, led away of divers lusts. Their doctrine, their way, it's just sensual, and it leads away people. It leads away to just the sensualness of the flesh. It leads away. God wants you to feel good. Well, there's not a thing in the Word of God that says that the Lord wants us to feel good or to be happy. We're to honor and follow and serve and worship Him. There will be a blessing from that, but the purpose of it isn't so you and I'll feel good. I just deserve to be happy. Who said that? Now, there is joy in the Lord. Indeed, there is a blessing. There is recompense of the reward. Moses, the scripture says Moses saw that. But you and I don't deserve anything. But the Lord has blessed us greatly. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Saying they're just becoming so spiritual and so connected with the Lord and all that. And all it is what it turns out to be is just discovering themselves and the wickedness that's in their heart. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. The truth comes out and said, no, can't have anything to do with that. Men of corrupt minds, there's that sensuality, that carnality at hand. Reprobate concerning the faith. The faith is held up. They know nothing about it. The Word of God is brought out and they become bored with it. The truth of God's Word comes up and trying to take that and applying it to their situation and they're offended by it. Reprobate concerning the faith. Remember, Jude said that we should earnestly contend for the faith. And when the faith comes out with these, it is. You ever talk to somebody that claims to be saved and maybe even claim to be in one of the Lord's churches and talk to them about the Word of God and they just kind of glaze over? Isn't that weird? There's no connection. You go back to talking about fishing, man, they come back to life. They go back to talking the Word of God and just kind of. There's nothing there. And then go back to talking about, you know, what's going on in sports and they light up and talk about things of the Lord and he's just kind of, what's going on? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Withstanding the men of God, they withstood Moses. And Moses was not a man of his own making. He was sent by the Lord to his people. The Lord made that clear. And these two stood up against him. But they shall proceed no further, the apostle writes, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. Jannes and Jambres, their folly was made known. And you know what? These who are this way, it'll be made known. We just saw about that in our consideration of the plagues in the scripture. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, the apostle writes, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. He says, I've been an example. He's not pumping himself up. But what he's saying is that the form of godliness that I have has been given unto me, and I do have a connection and understanding of the power that's behind it. It's been of the Lord. He's been a good witness. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, his teaching, his manner of life, his conversation, his purpose, that he's an apostle to the Gentiles, his faith is in the Lord in it all, his long-suffering, what he has endured for the people of God, where what he has endured for carrying the gospel where the name of the Lord was not even known, and his charity, his love. Why would he go to Philippi and endure such things and after being beaten, not just hightail it out of town, but rather minister to the saints yet, didn't he? Indeed, his charity, his love for them and his patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He's resting in the Lord. So how can you bear what you are bearing? Well, it's by the strength and the grace and the blessing of the Lord. Yea, and this is the case, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Boy, that's sure different than these over here that are verse number four, are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That they... That all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not may, but shall do so. But he says here, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Since I've been here as pastor, I've come across some that have said that there's no more wickedness and no more evil in the world than there ever has been. And I think that there is an ebb and flow in societies and cultures and nations over time to where it would rise up and then the Lord would judge. And even the plagues in Europe, I believe, was judgment in that regard. But the scripture says here, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. They don't ever get better. Depravity never takes us in a direction that is good. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're looking at what is it they do? They creep in unawares. They're looking to lead away the silly, the unestablished. They're looking to prey on the weak. Young person, middle-aged person, even old person. You know what? If we start listening to our bodies and we start listening to the world, we can end up in a mess in a hurry. We need to listen to the Lord. May God help us in that. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. But here's the admonition to Timothy and to us. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You've been given these things by the Lord. You've been given these things from the Word of God, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. There it is again, faith, which is in Christ Jesus, salvation, wisdom of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is how sinners are saved. Are you here without Christ? The wisdom of the Lord and the working of the Lord and the power of the Lord is salvation is of the Lord, and salvation is by faith in Christ. You too can be saved by the Lord Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's been breathed, hadn't it? We looked at that Wednesday. And is profitable for doctrine, for teaching of the Lord, but his what God believes. I like that. What I want to line up with what Jesus believes. Jesus believes something, and that's what I want to believe. Don't you? Amen? What Jesus believes is what I want to believe. And Lord, help that we will. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. Look out. You're going a dangerous way. Look out. Don't go there. For correction. Yeah, you went that way, and now you're in the middle of it. Get out of that and get right with the Lord. Confess it and repent of it. for instruction of righteousness. Here's the right way. Go the blessed way of obedience that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, you might grow up. Have you grown up in the last year in the Lord? Have you? I can't answer it for you. Maybe it is manifested in your fruits. We do know others by their fruits. But have you grown up? Need to grow up. Need to grow up in the Lord, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, through and through, unto all good works. Good works wrought in us by the Lord to His honor and glory and praise. Not to our praise, but to the glory of our great God and King. Ungodly men. In Matthew chapter 7, let's just go over here quickly. Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. There's a way you can know them. Ye shall know them by their fruits, what they produce. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Do you go to a thorn bush and get grapes? Or figs of thistles? Do you go over there to the thistle and expect to get figs? Well, you know what? You won't get good fruit from a wolf. You won't do it. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. If that apple tree out there is healthy and not diseased and all that, we'll have some good apples from it. We hope to have some. But if it's diseased, if it's got a problem internally, that fruit won't be any good, will it? It might not even yield any fruit. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, verse 17, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's the way the Lord reckons it. This is Sermon on the Mount. Wherefore, by their fruits, who's the there? Well, those false prophets, the prophets that come along, the certain men crept in unawares, by their fruits ye shall know them. What's the fruit? What's the fruit at hand? Well, we'll take a look at that, be refreshed in that even next time.